Okay. We'll pick it up again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and we'll start at verse 15. When Paul did say last week that in verse 14, he says, "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." And we talked about the reason why Paul said that. No other apostle could say what he said. No other apostle could say that I thank God that he sent me not to baptize, or I thank God that I didn't baptize you. Do you recall, I know you guys remember this, in Acts, when Philip was in Samaria, in Acts chapter, look at Acts chapter 8, and then go to Acts chapter 10. We'll find out this is baptism has always been important to the 12. And that's what, when you ask that question, why did he send his disciples to baptize? Because that was part of their program.
10.
As a matter of fact, before we do that, go back to chapter 2. Now, do you recall last week we talked about what baptism meant, right? We know what baptism, what it means.
Identification.
It was for the Jews, it was a couple of things involved there. It was not only identification. It was also a ritual cleansing. Or symbolic. It was a cleansing. Right. The separation. It was an identification, a cleansing, and a separation for them. Even if you want to say a purification. But it was just a shadow of what was to come. And what the baptism did for them, and John called it the baptism of
repentance.
They had strayed a long way from what God had wanted from them as a people that were destined to be a nation of priests. They were not holy. They were not sanctified. They were not purified people. But when John comes preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And they didn't ask him why he was baptizing. They knew it was and they knew what it meant. They asked John who he was. What authority do you have to do this? They didn't question the act. They questioned the person. They knew that there was a day coming when you read all the prophets, they all talked about a day coming where they would be cleansed. Matter of fact, Ezekiel 36, he says, the day is coming that he will sprinkle them with what?
Clean water.
He would take out their stony heart, give them a heart of flesh, cause them to walk in their ways. So when John shows up, they knew exactly what he was doing, but they wanted to know, who are you? Are you the Christ? He said, no. Are you Elijah? No. Are you that prophet? No. Where they say, well, give us an answer so we can tell those who sent us. They want to know who you are. Because do you recall when he said this? He says, we know that Elijah will come before that, before the Christ. And Jesus told him, he says, this would be Elijah if you would believe. See, nothing happened the way they wanted it to happen. The Jews, they had in their mind the way things should play out.
They still do.
And they wanted action right now.
They wanted miracles.
No, they wanted action.
They wanted to get out from under Roman occupation.
That was part of it. You know, that was something that they were. Isaiah says this. He says, behold, your God shall come with a strong hand. And when he does, he will. Yeah, look at Isaiah. I'm sorry to bounce around, but look at Isaiah 35.
Oh, Isaiah had a lot to say, didn't he?
Isaiah 35. Look at verse 1, since we were that close. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense will he come and save you. Then, when? When is then?
When he comes.
When he comes. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. So if you were a Jew, if you didn't know anything but that one passage, you would be expecting what?
A giant.
All right. Now look at Luke chapter 4. You know, I shouldn't have. Keep Luke 4. I'm sorry. And you still got Isaiah? Look at Isaiah 61. Because he quotes Isaiah 61 in Luke. So what we want to, we don't want to miss the passage here. What do you have first? Go to Isaiah first. Isaiah 61 first. 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Who might the captives be?
Israel.
They didn't think they were captives, though. They thought they were free.
Yeah.
Didn't they? What they told Jesus? We never been in bondage to any man. They were in bondage to the Egyptians. They were in bondage to the Babylonians. They were in bondage to the Syrians. They were in bondage to, at that very time, they were in bondage to who?
Sin and Romans.
The Romans and sin. But that's what he meant. He says, that you've got a captive. You're in captivity that you don't know about.
Wow.
He said, as a matter of fact, he said that he had come to deliver them from the hand of him that was stronger than them. Whose hand might that be?
Satan.
They didn't believe that.
They wanted that it was Rome, right?
They They were looking at the physical.
Yeah. They've been in captivity for so long that they didn't know any difference.
That's, well...
Right.
They were out of captivity, but even though they were in under Roman authority, that's what they wanted, is to be like today. They want to be an independent nation, but they cannot be without Christ.
Right.
I think somebody was saying that, I think it was the last lesson, where they can go back over there, but that's on them. That's not God gathering them together. That's them going back on their own. Because if God went, if God took it over, it wouldn't be that. It wouldn't be the. It wouldn't be this little strip. It would be from Dan to Beersheba, like they they're supposed to have. So you go over there, and they can get in that little space over there, and say that God has delivered us back into our land. No, not really. What's that?
They never claimed all of it to begin with, right?
Right, because they fell off before they can take the whole land.
But they feel stronger in numbers.
Well, they shouldn't. chapter 61, he says, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day, verse 2, of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Okay, now look at Luke.
Luke what?
Luke chapter 4. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And bear him witness, and all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceedeth out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Stumbling block. They stumbled at that stumbling block. But he quoted, and Karen brought that out, where the Lord, he rightly divided there, because the passage says that he was to execute vengeance. But he wasn't there to do that.
He didn't read that part.
He didn't read that part. He closed the book because it wasn't time for what?
For
vengeance. It was time to, for him to do what?
Heal the sick and that part.
To deliver them.
Yeah, to show the signs that he was the Christ.
To deliver them. He was to deliver them. Right.
To preach the gospel to the poor.
Why did he want to deliver them?
They were
captives.
They were captives. Why did he want to free them from the captivity that they were in, the sin and the satanic captivity?
So they could be the nation of priests that they had agreed to at Exodus 19.
You have to make them, you have to qualify them to be of service. They still had that wilderness mentality that we can do it. We're Abraham's seed. We can do this. They didn't know that they had to be purified, they had to be separated, cleansed, and that baptism of repentance was what would identify them with the Messiah. He says, before we can work on these people, I had to work on you. He had to qualify them. And isn't it funny? Everybody, when we read, everybody understands that you can go to any job. Everybody understands you have to have training except when it comes to Scripture. Everybody realizes that there's some type of learning curve before you can be effective, except when it comes to Scripture. They don't realize that God is... If we have that much sense, what about God? Mm-hmm. Where he's picking these people, and you have to know he has to qualify you, empower you to serve him. And not only empower you, but to re-educate you. To take out your ideas and replace it with his ideas. As we looked in Corinthians, to take out your wisdom or your vanity and put in his what? But we all wing it. When it comes to go to the church, everybody's winging it. What do you get that from? Well, we've been doing that for years. Well, you ever thought about that? It doesn't line up with Scripture? Well, that's your interpretation. But you can read it right there, and he says, well, wait a minute. This says this. You know what's funny? When they said they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth, he just read the passage. When you go a little further, he says, and he spake as one that had authority and not as one of the scribes. Well, that's who the scribes were, is the one that had the authority to explain this. And the reason why they were so astonished, because they didn't read this.
And he was from Nazareth.
They added the tradition to it.
They wrote it but didn't read it.
What we do every week, we go in every week. They may take a text, and after they take that text, it's all philosophy, wisdom of the world, wisdom of men. That's what it is after that. Motivational speaking. But when you stick to the verses, they want to know, where'd you go to school? Mm-hmm. And you say, well, like John, that's not important. What's important is what I'm saying. But I said all that to say this is what when he comes, that's what the baptism, when John says, I want to identify you with him. When he comes, well, he's here. That's when John says, behold, that's him. God told me, he says, whom you see the Spirit descending on like a dove, that's him. So when Jesus gets baptized, John chapter 1, he said this. He says, I didn't know him. I'm paraphrasing this. I knew him not. But that he might be manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. I want you to identify with him. It's the Messiah. And really, the Messiah is who?
Israel's.
If you follow the verses, the Messiah is really who?
God.
God. Give that man a star. That's that. He said, when your God shall come, this is what he'll do. Well, here he comes, and he's the only one doing those things in Israel in the last
400.
At least 400 years. That they know of. So if you're a Jew, like in Luke, when Simeon and Anna, where if you're waiting and looking, they knew.
Behold, I've seen the salvation.
He says, I have seen the Lord's Christ. So they knew. Why did they know? Because they were looking. So when John comes and he talks about the baptism, that's what he's identifying them with, was that long-awaited deliverance, but it wasn't the deliverance that they thought. The first thing is you, and then we'll work on the other details. Okay, back to Corinthians. I'm sorry. I said Acts, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay, Acts. Acts chapter 2. So the baptism was to identify the Messiah, to manifest the Messiah to the nation. And that was in order for them to be cleansed, for them to be prepared as a people. So in Acts 2, verse 22, this is after Christ is crucified, buried, and resurrected, right? Okay? Yes? Okay.
And ascended.
And the 12 have been equipped with the Holy Spirit. They've got this second baptism, right? Baptism with the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Drop down to verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both what?
Lord and Christ.
Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He didn't say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say that, did he? Why not? Because that wasn't his message. He's still trying to convince them that you've done wrong and you have to identify with this man. And the first step is you change your mind about him. And the second step is get baptized. It's not negotiable. It's not optional. And he said, every one of you. Now, Paul wouldn't say, I have to baptize every one of you. He said, I thank God that I didn't baptize a lot of you. That's a big difference. Listen, that's a big difference. We don't look at that. We don't see the gravity of that. Here's a man, he says, you, every one of you. And then here's another man who's an apostle that says, Christ sent me to preach the gospel. Peter's preaching the gospel. Peter says, every one of you need this. And Paul says, I'm glad that I didn't get all of you just in Corinth. Not to mention the Galatians and the Ephesians and the Colossians and the rest of Thessalonians. He's just in Corinth. He said, I'm glad I didn't, because Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Wow.
So, why do people who believe that all the denominations that believe you should be baptized, what do they say about that?
Well, some say you have to do this.
The Church of Christ.
Right. They say this is it, but they don't realize that. Where's Paul when this is written? Well,
in Acts 2? In Acts 2? Paul had been, the Lord hadn't reached down and touched him. Paul
he's not even
persecuted.
So where's your message? Where is your message here? If Paul's your apostle, right? Where is your message? It's not there. Yet. Right? We don't. That's what right division is. It's progressive. You can't park yourself back here and say, that's to me. He's dealing. He's telling, ye men of Israel. He's telling them right there to be baptized. And he said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They still have to identify with the man who they didn't want. The man who John manifested to them is the same man that they didn't want, the same man that they crucified, the same man they told Pilate, we don't want him, the same man that was resurrected, and the 12 went back to them and said, we know that you did it in ignorance. So we're going to give you another chance to believe him, to believe on him. And he said this in chapter 2, he says, if you repent, he'll send that same Jesus what? Back. The same one.
We know who you are. We know what you do.
Right. They knew who he was. They knew who. They knew. They were without excuse at that point.
They could
have not. The time of ignorance, God said, well, we'll give you another chance. And they said, well, we did it once. And just to, so you make sure you get the message, they begin to persecute those people. Oh, you had a question.
No, I think what she was really referring to is just like when I went to the church I went to, it was just another hoop bust to jump through that wasn't required, but we didn't know. We didn't understand the division, you know, right division.
Right.
You know, that was not instructed for us. So we was jumping through that hoop.
But Paul never comes out and really says not to anything about not being baptized, does he? All he said was he hadn't baptized many, or he was glad he didn't. But he never says, does he?
He said, I was not sent to baptize. That's
yeah,
pretty
he
strong.
Wasn't sent
you know,
to baptize.
I was not
but
sent
had
to
he been, he would have certainly told us.
Right.
He would have said, I'm glad I baptized those and hope I get to baptize some more.
I mean, as opposed to the 12, singular Paul, and he's training up Timothy and everybody under him, but he's not telling them that it's okay for you to co-baptize these people. I mean, that's...
Well, even the program then versus now, is totally different.
That's why the requirement is different. Look, we talked about circumcision. Was that a big deal?
Yeah.
God said, if a man's not circumcised, he's cut off from the people. Then all of a sudden, some guy who used to be a Jewish rabbi in line for a Jewish rabbi, Paul, Saul, he sat in the best school that taught circumcision. He disappears for 3 years. Then he comes back, and a few years later, he preaches a sermon, and he tells the Jews that circumcision... it's nothing. Now, who's right?
Paul.
Was it right before?
Yes.
Well, what happened at that time for him to say, I won't circumcise you, and it means nothing?
He got some new information.
Who else got that information?
Christ.
But who else besides the Lord revealing to Paul? Who else got that information?
Nobody.
So it's him against
the world.
Everybody. And
he was so bold.
That's you can't say they have to progress with him. He says, be it known unto you, men and brethren, that by this man you can be justified now from all things that you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So today, when we tell a man that you can be justified without water baptism, Where do we get that from? That one man. That one man who the Lord told him, you can cut that out now. Because I'm not being manifest to Israel. You're not a priest. You're not a nation of priests. I have another baptism. Four take away one. Four take away three is what?
One.
It's one. So for us, I don't have a problem with that now. But some of us who are not progressing with him, we what? We have a problem with that. So you say, well, it's only one essential. This one is just, and the minute you do that, you're frustrating. That's what he says, lest the cross of Christ would be made what?
Of
none effect. So I think is we don't know what baptism meant, for starters. And if you knew what it meant, you know that it was like John. He says, I'll baptize you with water, but there's one coming after. I never forget that lesson you taught. He said the very fact that he said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The very fact that he said that is it implied that there was something better.
I get that, but other people...
Oh, I wasn't talking to you directly. I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. I said, I get it, okay, but I'm just saying other people don't. And if he had come out as strong and talked about baptism like he did about circumcision, you know, I mean, it was very clear where he was about the circumcision. But,
right.
And I think they thought differently. If baptism, like you said, wasn't then like it is today, the Holy Grail. Of, you know.
Right. Well, you think about it. The reason why he didn't talk about it as much as we think he should have talked about it is because he knew it didn't mean as much as to them at the time when he got the revelation. He's anticipating us going forward. He wasn't thinking that they don't get hung up right here. Like he talked to when he talked about the law, he had the problem was a big time problem with the law. Yeah.
I was just going to add, you know, this was written contemporaneously. We're 2,000 years removed. And you think about it, in those 2,000 years, all this theology has evolved to where now you've got people thinking that we've replaced Israel, and therefore they're putting us back into where we never were. So there's a lot that's been, like the traditions of the Jews, added to and scrambled around that was not here contemporaneously.
Yeah, I mean, it's, well, you know what? It's easy to look back. You know what? We can look back and see that. But anyway, let's go forward because we don't want to get too bogged down with that. My point is this, is that it meant something to them and it was not negotiable. And when he went to them, the same message was this: repent and be baptized. When Philip was in Samaria, and the Samaritans, when God began to make a change, they got the Holy Spirit first. And he baptized them. And they had to get the Holy Spirit after that. But he had to send back for Peter, which is, I mean, just part of their program. In Acts 10, when he baptized Cornelius, they got the Holy Spirit first. And then he said, well, looks like they got the end result. Everything's done here. Let's go on to the fellowship.
No.
What did he say?
He
said, you know what? They got the light gift. He says, you know, go ahead. Acts 10. That's good. You know, this is a can. When you open that can up, you just got to let them crawl out, don't you?
So I'd like to make a point, too, about when you're saying what they were used to. The Gentiles weren't used to baptism.
So with the Jews, he had to fight that battle.
Right.
What they were used to. You know? Yeah, but with the Gentiles, they weren't going around baptizing each other or anything.
Big deal.
yeah. And then Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 shows what the one path. So he does say what the one path is.
Right.
Which is of the Spirit.
And we still have a... The only time one is more than one is when it comes to this.
Right. And that's just so you can join their church.
It doesn't mean anything, but if you say, I don't want to do it, then you see how much it really means.
Right.
Or you don't have to do it. And you know what? I guess what bothers me is this, and it's not that I don't mind going over this, but it's like playing with a rattle. It's like you're a grown man, and it's like playing with a rattle where after a while the amusement, it gets old, right, Chris? You have to go and you're explaining that what it means, what it doesn't mean. Why haven't you? It's like, you know what? Look at Hebrews. Don't. He said in Hebrews, he says, let's leave what be the first principles of the oracles of God. Look at that. Hold your hand in. Back, where were we? Oh, 10. But look at Hebrews. He said in verse 6. Disintegrating here. I'm trying to get to that page.
What chapter?
What's that? Chapter 6. 6. Chapter 6.
Or 5:12 if you're backing up.
5. Let's go back to 5:12. Hebrews 5:12. For when the time, who's it to?
Hebrews.
For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. He says, and this will we do if God permit. And he's talking to the Hebrews, and he said, you know what he said? You land in a pack of idols. He says, get up out of the crib and let's go forward to perfection, to maturation. And that's what, when you see people occupied with these things, the little fleshly rituals, tongues, baptism, tithes, all those things that we focus on every Sunday, you know you're dealing with what? With babies. All they want to talk about is this stuff.
Shiny ball.
That's all they want. Any way they can get it in. Well, what about this? What about baptism? What about tithes? Say, do you know what you have in Christ? You know, let's drop that and go. You think that's what he came to do, so you can pay tithes? That he came so you could so you can be baptized? Or you think that's the end result? That's it? It's much more than that.
That's what we hope for.
That's, you know it. You know what it was? That's what got them in. That was the beginning, not the end, right? That's what got them in to go forward. But they got there and stopped. That's why Paul says, was Paul baptized for you? Or were you, was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He said, I'm not the one that you have to identify with. I have nothing to give you, because what I'm going to do is point you to him. And he would say the same thing. Why don't you go on to perfection?
But he had a lot to give, because that's what he was.
Well, he had a lot to give to the Corinthians. Matter of fact, the first thing he said is, I have a lot to give, just like this, but I can't give it to you because you're what?
Your teeth ain't come in.
You haven't cut, right. So, can you imagine that Paul had to come to Corinth and talk about this stuff? Do you know how frustrating that is for him to come into Corinth? He says, it's the third time I'm writing to you now. That's what he said, isn't it? He says, and when he finished it up, he says, quite you, like men. Grow up. And he says, you know what? He says, there's like he told the Hebrews, he said, there's some things I want to tell you, he said, but you are not able to bear them. Neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet
carnal.
Well, Paul's message was hidden. It's a mystery. And that's what's wrong with Christendom today. They don't understand that this is a whole new revelation
right.
coming from our apostle.
Because they was raised on this first one, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And they mix it all together.
Wow. But in chapter 10, what we talked about, Cornelius, right.
Yeah.
You got it, don't you? You got it? Well, anyway, he preached to Cornelius, and Cornelius received the Holy Ghost. And because baptism was so important to Peter, because Christ sent him to baptize, and it wasn't negotiable, he didn't say, well, I see you got the Holy Spirit, Cornelius, and the rest of you guys, I got nothing else to do here. He had to do it. And he says, well, can any man forbid water? Mm-hmm. And he says, well, what do you need the water for, Peter? He said, well, I know they got the end part, but I know what he told me. You remember when the Lord first showed him the sheet and he says, rise and eat? Mm-hmm. He just didn't start eating, did he? He said, not so, Lord. Why did he say that?
Because it was against the law.
Because he knew that it was what? He knew that it was against his teaching to eat something that was common or unclean. The Lord had to do it three times.
He's stubborn, wasn't he?
No, he believed the doctrine. So if the Lord sent him to baptize, there's no way that Peter was going to leave Cornelius' house and somebody got to get wet.
So we can move on.
Somebody. So, and that's the progression. And then, so you can see when Paul, what would make, in any under what circumstances could he say that? That Christ sent me not to baptize.
Because Christ had given him new instructions.
And it wasn't to baptize.
But to preach the gospel. When did baptism not become a part of the gospel?
Yeah.
Well, it was a part of the kingdom gospel, but Paul had a new
one. When did baptism not become a part of the gospel? No, after the cross, they would repent and be baptized. Everyone, 4,000 people baptized, 5,000 people baptized.
It was Paul's gospel.
The doctrine of Paul. That's what it
is. But everybody tells us that it's what? It's only one gospel.
Oh, one gospel.
But it's not.
So how could this man say that I'm glad that I didn't baptize you. He sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now they'll say this. Well, he sent Paul. It was what apostle do you know that he sent to preach the gospel, but not primarily to baptize? You know, they'll say, well, he sent him to preach the gospel. That was the main focus, not to baptize.
They stick in primarily
because he said, well, they were getting hung up. They got hung up with that, and so Paul didn't want to make a big deal out of it, so he didn't primarily baptize. His focus was to preach the gospel. Well, that's great, but that is the gospel. Baptism is part of it, was part of it. The reason he can say that, like you said, is the fact that he received a new one, and as he go forward, a lot of other things he gonna say you don't need that you doing in Corinth and other places. And because we are ignorant, like he said, and he said, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now there's, look at Corinthians. Now there's a man, I was thinking in Micaiah, back in the Old Testament, where he chased the man down over his images. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was so funny to me. He tracked him down. He took his priests. He took his images. And when he said, you have taken my images. And then he says, and what have I left? He says, if you take my images, what do I have left?
And that's always what the church is saying today.
If you take all my...
Mm-hmm.
What do I have left? And you could tell them you'll have left.
If I don't preach Malachi, how am I going to pay the light bill?
You will have left what you were supposed to have left.
Exactly.
When he told the Corinthians, he says, God forbid that I should glory. That's Galatians. But he said, Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. What do you have left? What do you want? What more do you want? Corinthians
15.
So he says, and I baptize the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And we'll pick up 18 next week.
We'll move forward.
That's,
but,
and that's, you know what, I don't even know if we spent a lot of time on that, but I don't even know if that was...
Frank, don't worry about where you spent your time. It was all well spent. That's right.
That's let me ask this before we do stop this. Is you understand that baptism was identification. It's you know what? Just quickly, the word itself, they always get caught up with the mode of it,
right?
But they don't realize that what it means to dip, and you know why it. Why they used that terminology was because the process indicated something. That's just a piece of it. It means to dip. You know, a good example is this. If I take a cup of hot water, right? Well, that's water. Hot water, right? What is it?
Hot water.
It's hot water. If I take a tea bag, right? Tea. And dip that tea bag in that hot water. What is it? What does it become?
Tea.
I've changed it from what?
Water.
To what? By doing what?
By adding.
Dipping a bag in
there. By dipping. I baptized that tea bag and changed that water to what?
Tea.
So now I can say, if I said go in there and get me a glass of hot water, or if I said go in there and get me a glass of tea, aren't those two different things?
Yes.
That's what baptism does. It changes the identity of something. People dyed clothes. They took a tub of hot water, right? And they took a box. Annette knows what that box is. What was that box?
Writ.
Took a box of writ. Poured the contents of that, or they dumped it in there, and changed that hot water to what?
Dye.
Whatever color they wanted to, and then they take their clothes and do what?
Dip it
in that tub.
And
if I want to, if I had a white shirt, and I wanted to make it a blue shirt, and if I took it out and I hung it up, a white shirt and a blue shirt over there, and I said, go in there and get me a white shirt, or get me that blue shirt. If you went in there and you saw a white shirt hanging up and a blue shirt hanging up, are they different?
Yeah.
If it used to be white and I dipped it in here and it turned blue, what did I do?
I changed it.
I changed it. You can take another jar, fill it with vinegar, right? Take me a cucumber. Baptize it in that vinegar, and after a while I got what? Pickles. Now if I put a cucumber on the counter and a pickle on the counter and say, go in there and get me a pickle, are they different?
Yes.
How did they become different?
Because
I dipped them in what? And I changed the... Okay. So I take you sinner, right? And the Holy Spirit baptizes you into Christ. And then you come out over here, what?
A Christian,
a new creature, a new creature.
With Christ's righteousness.
And I say, go into the room, and I say, you got a sinner right here, and you got a believer right here. And I go in there and say, you go in there and get me that believer. Right? And you go in, what made him the believer?
He got dipped.
Because he was, or you want to say, baptized into what?
Into Christ.
It changed his what?
His identity.
Changed his identity. From a sinner.
To a child of God.
Only thing about it is, you didn't have anything to do with this one. All these other ones, we can.
Yeah, we can't baptize ourselves into Christ.
But this one here, so the whole process, people get caught up with the mode of it, and not realizing what the process denoted. And baptism, they did different ways. They sprinkled, they poured it, they dipped it. We're caught up with the mode. God is thinking about the process and the effectiveness of it, effectiveness of it, to identify us with Him.
All of these over here are works.
And that's, yeah, these are works, but this one is a work on you. You have nothing to do with it. You have nothing to do with it. So, the operation of God. Okay, we're going to stop right there. We'll pick up verse 18 next week.